Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Still Breath in the Wisdom and Teachings of a Perfectly Flawed Man is a self-help book by Brendan M. Dilley that rejects the polished tone of conventional inspirational writing. Built from the author's own experiences as a single father and a man who openly discusses failure, the book presents practical advice through an aggressive, direct, and often humorous voice. Its purpose is not to offer gentle reassurance or simple slogans, but to push readers toward self-acceptance, forgiveness, and personal accountability. The book addresses a broad range of subjects, including relationships, parenting, dating, sex, business, faith, health, and fitness, using lived experience as the foundation for its advice. Rather than framing growth as a matter of perfection, it argues that wisdom is often formed through pain, mistakes, and resilience. That makes it a distinctive entry in the self-help category, raw, autobiographical, and deliberately unsentimental. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, an unfiltered self-help style that rejects motivational clichés. The book's most defining feature is its refusal to sound like standard self-help. Instead of polished encouragement, it uses a blunt and confrontational style that treats hard truths as more useful than comfort. This matters because the book is trying to reach readers who are skeptical of superficial advice or tired of generic affirmations. Its tone signals that personal growth is not being presented as a clean, linear process. The author positions honesty as more valuable than soothing language, which makes the message feel more immediate and less manufactured. That approach also shapes how the lessons are received. Readers are asked to think critically about their own habits rather than simply feel inspired. In practice, the style functions as part of the argument. The rough delivery reinforces the idea that real change often begins with discomfort, not reassurance. For readers who want a direct challenge rather than a soft pep talk, this is central to the book's identity. Secondly, forgiveness as a practical discipline, not an abstract virtue. A major theme in the book is forgiveness, especially forgiving oneself for past mistakes. The emphasis is practical rather than sentimental. The book suggests that resentment, shame, and repeated self-judgment keep people stuck in patterns of avoidance and indecision. By contrast, forgiveness is treated as a necessary step for forward movement. This is important because it broadens forgiveness beyond moral language and frames it as a tool for emotional stability and clearer decision-making. The book does not present forgiveness as pretending harm did not happen. Instead, it encourages readers to confront what happened, acknowledge the damage, and stop using the past as a permanent identity. That distinction gives the topic forced forgiveness, becomes a way to reduce internal friction and regain agency. In the book's logic, people cannot build a healthier future while continuing to define themselves only through old failures. This is one of the strongest links between the author's personal narrative and the book's self-help purpose. Thirdly, using failure and imperfection as the basis for wisdom. The title itself points to the book's core argument being flawed does not disqualify someone from offering useful insight. The author draws heavily on his own failures, especially as a single father, to show that wisdom can come from repeated mistakes rather than ideal behavior. This gives the book a different structure from self-help titles that present the author as an expert speaking from distance. Here, authority comes from participation in the same struggles the reader may face. The result is a more conflicted but also more believable form of advice. The book suggests that pain, failure, and bad decisions are not just obstacles to growth. They are often the conditions that produce empathy, humility, and resilience. That idea matters because it reframes weakness as usable experience. Instead of trying to erase imperfection, the book tries to make imperfection instructive. Readers are invited to stop waiting to become flawless before they act, improve, or forgive themselves. The book's value lies in treating damaged experience as a legitimate source of insight. Fourthly, a wide-like scope that connects personal growth to daily responsibilities. The book covers a broad set of topics, including dating, relationships, love, sex, parenting, business, passion, faith, health, and fitness. This range is significant because it shows the author treating self-help as something that touches every part of daily life, not just private emotions. The result is a book that moves between personal, relational, and practical concerns without isolating them from one another. That breadth also reflects an underlying belief that character is visible in ordinary decisions, not only in major life crises. Parenting and relationships are not treated separately from discipline, work, or physical well-being. Instead, they are all connected through the same questions of accountability and honesty. This makes the book more useful as a general life guide than as a narrowly focused manual. At the same time, the wide scope can make the book feel more like a collection of hard-won observations than a tightly structured program. That loose but energetic structure suits its raw, experiential approach. Lastly, a voice built around resilience, authenticity, and emotional toughness. The book consistently promotes a version of strength rooted in authenticity rather than performance. It encourages readers to face fear, insecurity, and disappointment without hiding behind denial or image management. This is where its emotional logic becomes clear. Resilience is not described as suppressing pain, but as moving through pain while staying honest. The repeated focus on humility, empathy, and passion shows that the book does not equate toughness with coldness. Instead, it suggests that a fuller kind of strength includes vulnerability, the ability to admit mistakes, and the discipline to keep going anyway. That balance is one reason the book has appealed to readers who want encouragement without sentimentality. It offers a model of endurance that is personal and psychologically grounded, rather than abstract. The emphasis on living fearlessly and authentically also gives the book a clear moral direction. It is not simply about feeling better. It is about becoming more direct, more responsible, and less divided between outward appearance and inner reality. In conclusion, Still Breathen is best suited for readers who want self-help that feels personal, direct, and unsentimental. People who are frustrated by polished advice, vague positivity, or overly therapeutic language are likely to find its blunt style more useful than traditional motivational books. Its practical value lies in how it links self-forgiveness, resilience, and accountability to ordinary areas of life such as relationships, parenting, work, and faith. Intellectually, it offers an interesting case study in how autobiography can function as self-help without becoming polished memoir or conventional advice writing. What makes it stand out in the category is its voice raw but purposeful, confrontational but reflective, tough-minded but grounded in empathy. Rather than promising transformation through perfection, it argues that growth begins by accepting imperfection and learning from it. For readers open to a book that is more abrasive than comforting, it offers a distinctive and memorable alternative to the standard self-improvement formula. If you would like to support Brendan M. Dilley, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.